What can a suitcase snook do in terms of catastrophic damage?
Well, catastrophic, it's basically based on the yield, and some of them are dial-a destruction. In other words, they can go from 1 to 5 kilotons. You know, you're looking at the equivalent of pretty much taking out everything. And when a 5-kiloton weapon, you're going to take out, kill everything within a mile, and then you've got to deal with the blast radius and the additional fallout. So you're going to do a lot of damage. A kiloton weapon will be exactly what's needed to put us under martial law. How about an outbreak, George, of a genetically altered virus that someone infects themselves with and then walks through the airport of some major cities, infecting everyone that's getting on airplanes.
Or stays on a plane and he's sweating and feverish, but nobody knows.
Absolutely.
I was on a plane a couple weeks ago, and there was a fellow who got on, and Steve, I've never seen someone sweat so much in all my life, and he sits right down next to me, and I'm going, oh, great, here's tonight's fodder. This is my show. And you know where you got those vents on a plane where you screw them to shut them off or go the other way to turn them on?
Right.
Well, he had all three of them on, and he was shooting them down his back, holding his shirt up and out. This guy was just sweating. And I'm saying to myself, he's got a massive fever. He's carrying some kind of disease. And that's how it's going to be done.
Absolutely. And you know, here's what I have said, and I'm going to say it again. I said this the last time I talked about this 2 years ago. If anybody with any sense would realize that the situation right now in both the Democratic Republic of Congo and Angola, all you would have to do, if you were so inclined, would be get some live samples of body fluids, and you could cultivate that in a makeshift lab. And you know, George, I said that a couple years ago when the last outbreak took place in in Angola, or I take that back, Zaire. And I said that, and I said I would immediately, if I were the U.S. government, get people down there in biocontainment positions to see that no one would come in and take those samples. Do you know that I got a report, and actually it was from the capital of Zaire's newspaper, that a helicopter landed with individuals in bio suits, bio level 4 suits, you know, just like you see in the movies. And the bottom line is they were taking body samples. Now, who were those guys? By the way, they were not Americans and they were not Russians.
Remember a couple of years ago, I was on the air in St. Louis doing Coast to Coast, and you and I stayed on for 5 hours because there were all kinds of bizarre events going on.
Yes.
Back and forth and planes and things like that. It was weird. In this particular case, I mean, you've set the scene for the suitcase nukes in America. Let's assume they're gone now, right? At least for now. Can we do that?
Well, we can assume that, let's just say this, a majority of them are most likely gone, but there are still live nukes in this country.
Are there that were set by others?
Yes.
We know where they are?
I think that there are reasonable expectations where they are. You know, I don't know where they're at. I don't have any, quote, intel that I can give anybody because I don't know. But I can tell you this, that based on the last couple days of the financial areas, it seems like one of the main concerns to disrupt the world's commodities market, Chicago, keeps showing up over and over and over. And I can tell you point blank, that's from intercepted communications, Chicago. And everybody thinks, well, just New York, the stock exchange, blah, blah, blah. Chicago seems to be a very major concern right now in that sense. Other areas that are around nuclear fuel dumps. Here's another story you and I broke. We talked about it, and lo and behold, about a week later, everybody starts to panic. You remember when we were talking about all of the nuclear fuel dumps and stuff around, like White Sands and some of the laboratories that were not guarded?
Yes, I remember that.
And do you remember when all of our nuclear weapons facilities were being broken into?
Yep.
Okay, it was during that show we did, and please, I don't remember which show we did, but we talked about that. Well, about a week afterwards, boy, I can tell you point blank that that show got some attention, because this is no kidding, George, until you and I talked about that on your show, no one had ever given serious thought to producing a reasonable security perimeter around some of the areas where we store nuclear spent fuel, i.e., you know, stuff you'd make dirty bombs out of.
Yeah.
And to me, again, you know, the why look for all of these hidden things when it's what's right in front of your face that's going to get you?
When a dirty bomb goes off, does it go off with the same kind of explosiveness as a nuke or any other conventional bomb? Does it have sound and stuff, or does it go off in a different way?
Well, a dirty bomb is nothing more than conventional explosives that have been wrapped or packed with a radioactive material. And the radioactive material can be anything like cesium. It's just basically dirty. It is not a fission device. It's not a fusion device. You don't get a mushroom cloud, you know.
You'll hear it blow up.
Yeah, you will hear it blow up because typically you take TNT or C4, you basically put it into some kind of a container, and I'm not going to go into how you do it, but I'm just saying,
I understand.
You know, the bottom line is you just wrap conventional explosives with radioactive material, you detonate it, and then the detonation basically aerosolizes the radioactive particles, and you make an area hot or contaminated.
All right, the explosion itself doesn't do much physical damage. It's the radiation from the dirty bomb.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you an interesting thing. One of the gentlemen that developed, and I'm not sure I can explain the technology outside of, say, photo deactivation of nuclear fallout. In other words, there's a way to hit it with intense bombardment of photons, and I'm talking about radioactive materials. That man was murdered, too.
What concerns you the most, Stephen, in the work you've done? Lucifer's luggage, suitcase nukes, and some of the other ones that you've done in the past. What concerns you the most?
I think the combination of where genetic manipulation is headed in conjunction, you know, I think the nukes are how do I say this? They're so in our face, but I don't think people understand that when you take a virus that's got 28% to 38% mortality rate, you've increased it to 100%, and you can now combine that with any other deadly viruses, and that stuff is available on the open market. Just like this, George, we're talking about Angola right now. What do you think someone would pay for a virus sample of 100% mortal or mortality or effective killing a virus if you could get your hands on
whatever
it?
Whatever
they had to spend. That's the answer. And again, you know, to my knowledge, no one's talking about securing that area. And you can't rely on, and this isn't a slam, but you cannot rely on people that are panicked and that have no understanding of the true efficacy of these weapons, you know, to secure it themselves. So we should have people down there securing it so that my worst nightmare does not happen.